I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Judges in the chapter 14. 14th chapter of the book of Judges, commencing to read at the verse number 1 of this book of Judges, chapter 14. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word together, please. In Judges chapter 14, commencing to read at the opening verse. And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all thy people, that thou goest to take a woman of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman. And Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass that when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if ye can certainly declare it me, within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of raiment unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, And he went up to his father's house, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible book for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bow before thee. We thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious, infallible word, which thou hast given us today. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt, Lord, bless our meditation upon it. Help us, our God, to see the spiritual truths that lie therein. And we pray that thou wilt guide us in our lives. We pray that thou wilt make thy word a blessing to our hearts. Cover us afresh in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we know a deep sense of thy holy presence. And even this day, Lord, we pray that far beyond the voice of man, that we might hear the voice of God speaking to us afresh this day. O God, speak to my heart and bless me through thy word, for I pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. In many ways, when we come to this 14th chapter and look in the book of Judges at the life of Samson, we see a young man that has a great potential, a young man with a mighty potential for God. Think of all the things that are going for this young man and how that he ought to be able to make it good in his life for God and for truth. We see, first of all, that he had a godly father and he had a godly mother who prayed for him. He was blessed by God in his childhood. Go back to chapter 13 and the verse 24 it says, "And the woman bare a son, and she called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him." And so we see here that he was a young man, even in his earliest days, from the day of his birth. He was a young man that had the hand of God upon him. He was a young man that knew the blessing of the Lord, for it said the Lord blessed him. And then you'll notice something else in the same chapter, verse 25, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." And so we find here that as a young man, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon his life from time to time. And yet, in reality, whilst we see a young man with a tremendous, blessed beginning, yet a beginning that's good does not always guarantee a successful end. When Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God to the church at Galatia, he said in Galatians 3:3, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" And so easy it is that man gets his eyes of the Lord and gets his eyes upon his own efforts and upon the flesh. And Paul says, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit?" Samson began in the Spirit. And as we look at this life, we see a young man who was blessed by God, a young man who was earnestly prayed for, a young man that the Spirit of the Lord came upon from time to time. God had called him, and God had given him a calling to deliver, and yet we find him, instead of delivering Israel, we find that Samson himself is caught up in the bondage of lust and in the bondage of his own passion. And of course, friends, we notice that we in Christ this morning, those who were saved, everything that you need for a victorious Christian life has been provided for you in the cross and in the blood of Christ. And yet the reality is, many of God's people, instead of walking with God, instead of defeating the devil, they're lying down day after day in personal defeat and in discouragement. I want us to notice what happened here in the life of Samson. And there's warnings here. And I pray that the Spirit of God will even take of his word and write it upon our hearts this morning. Let's look what happened in Samson's life, friend. And let us see the warning of God for your life and for mine. First of all, look at verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. I want you to notice here, first of all, the way of carnal desire. The way of carnal desire. The Bible says that Samson went down to Timnath. Now, Timnath was a village about 3 miles southwest of Zorah that's mentioned there in verse 25 of the 13th chapter. It belonged to the tribe of Dan. It was given of God to the tribe of Dan. But at this time, we find that Timnath was in the hands of the Philistines, and the Philistines were the enemy and the oppressors of the children of Israel. These were the ungodly people. Down here, they represented the ungodly people. And yet the Bible says in verse number 1, Samson went down to Timnath. You see, my friends, not only did he go down geographically, although that's true, we find that Samson is taking a step going down spiritually. And what an awful tragedy it is when we find that those that once were blessed of God and anointed of God and empowered by God, that they would go down to Timnath, that they would go down spiritually in their lives. Now let us look why he went down to Timnath. The Bible says he saw a woman in Timnath. And so we find that the reason why that he went down was, it was his carnal desire. He was wanting to fulfill the desires of the flesh and not the desires of the spirit. You'll never satisfy the desires of the spirit by going down to Timnath. You will never satisfy your need spiritually by going to the ungodly, by going to the world, friend. Because you and I must remember that it is as we walk with God that we will go on with God and know the blessing of the Lord. Now the Bible says here that when he went down to Timnath, he saw a woman. And the word of God goes on to tell us, if you go down to verse number 3, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. She pleaseth me well. It was his own carnal desires that were here to the forefront. It wasn't of God, friend. He didn't ask God's direction. He wasn't walking in God's way. We find, as it says, she pleaseth me well. He made his choice on the basis of his own carnal desire. What he saw was what pleased him. Do you know, friend, the tragedy is this, that this Philistine woman attracted the eye of Samson. And that's all that seems to matter, because he says, get her for me, because she pleaseth me well. Also, you'll notice something else, and you go to verse number 7. Not only did she look well, and that's the thing that pleased Samson, it says, and he went down and he talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And so fine, not only did she look well, but she talked a good talk. She looked a good look. She talked a good talk. And I'll tell you, that's the thing that pleased Samson well. It was the satisfaction. It was the satisfying of his own carnal desire. Notice God's not in this. Notice, my friend, that God has not told him to do this. Now, of course, you'll point out something to me as we go on down this chapter and say, hold on, God was in this. But we've got to be careful in our interpretation, lest we take a wrong interpretation of what is spoken of here in this passage of God's precious word. Could I give a warning here? Let me tell you, my friend, when Samson went down to Timnath, there was a woman, she looked well. And she was a woman that talked well. But it was not the woman that should have been in Samson's life. She brought him heartache and she brought him deception and she brought him down. And what an awful tragedy this woman brings into Samson's life. You know, the devil will always have a pretty face around in the ungodly crowd to take a young man away. Or the devil will have a pretty face in the ungodly crowd to take a young man away, because he will have the face there to tempt you and to trap you. And of course, there's only outward beauty here. And of course, there is a fluence of speech here. But it doesn't take precedence and should not take precedence over the inward beauty that is only God can place upon a character. It pleased Samson. She pleased Samson well. Friend, that seemed to be enough for Samson. He didn't ask the Lord. He didn't seek the face of God. You know, whenever we started the book of Judges, remember the statement which is the very heart of the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, he wasn't guided by God. He wasn't seeking God's will. He wasn't asking God for his way. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. He was only seeking what he wanted, the satisfaction of his own ways and his own flesh, instead of seeking the face of the Lord. And sadly, Samson, who was to be a great spiritual leader, had adopted the standards of judgment of the world around him. And he did that which was right in his own eyes. And you notice what he says in verse 2. And he came and he told his father and his mother, and he said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. And so we find that indeed, that Samson is facing a problem. Here's the problem, friend. Samson was walking in disobedience to God's word. Samson was walking in disobedience to God's word, for God had told his people, the children of Israel, that they were not to join themselves unto the enemies of the Lord. Go back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus chapter 34, God says in verse number 12, or verse number 11, observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, ye shall break down their images, ye'll cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of their sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. God has told them that they weren't to join themselves unto the enemies of the Lord. But he violates the law of God. You see, he casts aside what God has said to him, the warning that God has given. The book of Amos tells us, can two walk together in that spiritual union and harmony, the one with the other, except they be agreed? And although the scriptures warn again and again and again about that unequal yoke, yet we find that Samson, who was a Nazarite from the womb, Samson, who was separated unto the Lord and unto his service, yet we find that Samson is now mixing with the unholy and unclean in this union together, and taking to wife someone that God has told him not to do. Why does he do it? Because of carnal desire. Because of carnal desire, she pleaseth me well. It was his own way. Then secondly, notice, it was a way of careless demands. Look at verse 2 again of chapter 14. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me. Get her for me to wife. Notice self here. Notice the careless demands that he makes. You see, notice what he says to his father and his mother. He says, get her for me. There is no respect in this statement. The Bible and the commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's a rudeness in attitude here. And friend, I say this to young people today. Be very careful in the way that you speak to your parents. We're living in a day and an age that people want their own way, and if they don't get their own way, they put on a bit of a stunt. Friend, if they just still don't get their own way, they speak rudely to their parents. There is not the respect of their parents that there ought to be. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's what the Word of God says. And yet we find that here is a young man, because he's working in the flesh here. Here's a young man, he's seen a woman, and he wants her. And he just says to her, he says, get her for me. It's an order. It's not a request. It's an order that he gives to his parents, a demand which he makes in his parents. Now, in those days, in Bible times, it was customary that if a young woman was to be taken onto a young man, it was customary for the parents to go and to speak to the parents on the other side. And they would make a request. They would make a request that their daughter their hand would be given in marriage for their son. And also it usually would be including a dowry. There would be a dowry in the midst of this arrangement. But friend, notice there's none of that in it. Samson's not worried about how the young woman's family feels. Samson's not worried how really his parents feel. He said, listen, she pleaseth me well, so you go down and you get her for me. There was no mention about speaking to her parents, or no mention about dowries, no mention about any of the things that would have been relevant at that time. They just demanded that they were to do his bidding. They were to do his bidding. He was a young man that decided that he was boss of the whole situation. He was the one that was ordering his parents around instead of him listening to the guidance of his parents. Now let me say this to you. In response to his demand, it is true that his father spoke to him, and he got counsel not only from his father but also from his mother. Because in the end of, or in verse number 3, it says, then his father and his mother spake unto him. In other words, they give him counsel. But he wasn't a young man that was desiring counsel. He was a young man that simply was wanting his own way. And if he doesn't get his own way, friend, let me tell you, he intends to get his own way, because he doesn't leave it open for a request. He makes a demand for his parents. You get her for me. So his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Notice the demands which are made here, that are made by this young man, the careless demands. Now it is true that Samson's parents, they sought to give him counsel, but let me say this to you. When I look at the counsel of his mother and father, whilst it's wise counsel, yet I have to say it's very weak counsel. It's very weak counsel. Because his father and mother didn't take a stand here. Yes, they drew his attention. They drew his attention to what the will of God would be. In other words, is there never a woman amongst the daughters of thy brethren? They didn't tell him that he was disobeying God. They didn't tell him that he was flying in the face of what God had commanded. No, friend, it was a wise counsel. It is true that they were seeking to direct this young man's attention to seek a young woman from amongst their own people. But whilst it was a wise counsel as far as it went, it was a weak counsel. Counsel. Let me tell you, parents, there comes a time that we have to take a stand. There's a time that we take a stand. We do it in love, of course, We do it not to satisfy our flesh or to vent our anger, but we do it to glorify and to honor the Lord, friend. And here we find that whilst they give counsel, which was good as far as it went, friend, let me tell you, it finished there. Because here was a young man that was determined, and whenever they said it, they just said to him, listen, get her for me. And the Bible tells us that, of course, they went down. Verse number 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother. He's taking them down too. And so we find here as a young man, Samson's word. I have no doubt whatsoever, friend, that when Samson said these words to his father and mother, listen, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I have no doubt that it went as a sword into his parents' hearts. Because they had prayed for this young fellow. They had prayed for him from the day before he even was born until the day he was born. They had great hopes and dreams for their son. And I believe that what I'm saying here, friend, is just every Christian parent's nightmare. Every Christian parent's nightmare, because they have great hopes and dreams for their children, especially when they bathe them in prayer and they make demands like this, and they walk the opposite direction, friend, and they treat the stand of their parents with utter contempt. And I believe that this story that we have here is a story that has been written in sorrow, and it's a story that has been written in tears so many times. His parents made a protest. And the reason why it was wise counsel, because I believe that what his parents were saying here was supported by the word of God, which is pure wisdom. And they sought to point out to him, indeed, what he ought to do. And the seriousness of his request, notice what they said to him. They said, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren and among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? Let me tell you, friend, the uncircumcised, that's a word of reproach, and that is a word of contempt. But sad to say, their son was not for listening. Sad to say, this young man was just in his own way. He was desirous to have his way and not God's way. Oh yes, in a way they protested. But friend, immediately they give in. It is so easy for us to protest in our talk. And it is different for us to protest in our walk, because the Bible says that they went down. They went down. And so we find it's a way, first of all, of carnal desire. It's a way of careless demand. But let's go a little further, because here's the challenge. Verse number 4, it is the way of confusing determination. Because whilst it is true that this young man was walking rebellion, look at verse number 4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. Some people say to me, hold on a wee second now. Just hold on a wee second, preacher, because surely this marriage is of God. This really is not in denial of God's word, and this is not in denial of God's will. This is a marriage which is of the Lord. I believe that there's a misunderstanding by many of this verse. Let's just read it again. But his father and his mother knew not it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And you see, to some it means that Samson was doing this. He was seeking out this young woman, knowing that God was wanting to destroy the Philistines, and therefore he was wanting to walk in the will of God. He was in the very center. He had sought God's face. He had sought God's will, and seeking God's will, now he's doing God's will. That's why he's so emphatic to say, get her for me. Friend, nothing is further from the truth. That is not what that verse means whatsoever. You will notice, it says, that the suggestion rather would be that the Spirit of God moved upon Samson to fall in love with this woman, and that that is why he was so determined to get her. I believe that's couldn't be further from the truth. I believe it's an absolutely wrong conclusion. Notice what it says here in verse number 5. His father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion. Now, he is not Samson. He is not Samson. The word there that he sought, it's not that Samson sought an occasion against the Philistines. No, friend. Samson wasn't doing this to get at the Philistines. Samson was not doing this because he was doing it having sought the face of God. The he there is God. God was seeking to destroy the Philistines. God was purposing and planning to destroy the Philistines. There is no indication. There is no hint in this story that Samson's actions and his words had anything to do with defeating the Philistines. But it had everything to do with the satisfaction of his own carnal desires. Oh, it is so easy to use God, you know, as sort of a stamp upon what we do or what we say just because we think that we get away with it. Just because it sounds good. In reality, what we're witnessing here, friend, listen, it's not that Samson's desiring to walk in God's will, but I believe that what we're seeing here is God overruling the disobedience of Samson. Because God's a sovereign God. He can make the wrath of man to praise him. And so we find that rather than a young man walking in the will of God, having sought the face of God what to do, we find a young man who is walking in disobedience, but God is overruling sovereignly the disobedience of Samson, and God is going to use it in his plan, in his purpose, to bring judgment upon the Philistines. Thank God we have a sovereign God. And even when we will take wrong steps, and even when we would seek to walk in our own way, God is a wonderful way, friend, of overruling. God has a sovereign way of overruling what we do. And God had determined that he would deal with the Philistines. They were the enemies of God's people. These were the oppressors of the people of God. And so God took the circumstances of even Samson's disobedience. And God says, listen, I will take that which was meant for evil. And God says, I will turn it to good. It was meant for, remember with Joseph? Whenever his brethren sold him into Egypt, friend, let me tell you this. They weren't thinking that down the line in a short time there would be a famine and that they would need to go down into Egypt to get bread. They knew nothing about that whatsoever. They sold their brother into Egypt because they hated him, because their father loved him, because he had given him that special coat of colors, which indeed did give him an exalted position within the family. It wasn't that because that they loved him and that they cared about the future of their father. They didn't care about a father's broken heart over their son that they would lie about. Not at all. But friend, let me tell you, what did Joseph say in the end of it? He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was able to take the very wrath of man. Friend, let me tell you, we worship at the throne of a sovereign God this morning. That's why God says, all things work together for good to them that love God. And even when our hearts are breaking, and even when we're taken through the valley of tears, God has purposed and planned that those tears will, friend, be turned to triumph. Why? Because he is sovereign. It doesn't mean we don't have the tears. Yes, we do. It doesn't mean that we don't have the broken heart. It doesn't mean that we don't hurt. But praise God, in the hurting, there's the healing. Because God can turn it round for good. And they sold their brother into Egypt. But in the sovereign purpose of God, friend, let me tell you, God turned it around and God put Joseph into the prime minister's position there in Egypt. And God used it to the delivering of his redeem people. God is a sovereign God, and that's why today we ought to rejoice as a people that God is still upon the throne. God permitted Samson's decision. He overruled it for bringing Samson into conflict with the Philistines. And God was going to deliver. Never use, of course, let me say this to you, never use Samson's disobedience to justify evil. Never use Samson's disobedience to justify evil. I must never use God's sovereign purposes to endorse or excuse any disobedience of my life, friend. God can turn even the wrath of man, and God can turn it around to praise him. God can turn the most difficult of circumstances, and out of the most dire circumstances and deepest trial and trouble that would break our hearts, and God can take us to the mountaintops of joy. But never ever use Samson's disobedience. Why was Samson going after this woman? Why did Samson want this woman? Because she satisfied his eyes. She satisfied his carnal desires. And he said, "Mom, Dad, you get her for me." And even when his father and mother sought to guide him and sought to give him words of wisdom, we find he says, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." But very quickly, just, we'll finish with this morning. We'll go just down to verses 5 to 9 just for a moment as we finish the continuing downward, the continuation downward. Because we notice three times it mentions here. Look at verse number 5. Then went Samson down. Verse 1 tells us he went down to Timnath. Verse 5 tells us that Samson not only went down, but he took his parents with him. Verse number 7, and he went down. Friend, I believe that that's, most certainly it meant geographically, but I believe it meant more. Samson, with all the privileges that he had, he's going down. Do you remember another young man that the Word of God records the very same thing about? His name was Jonah. And God called Jonah, and God told Jonah to go for him and to preach to Nineveh, that wicked city, that sinful city. And Nineveh, here was the enemy. Nineveh were the enemies of Jonah and his people. And he didn't want the enemies to be delivered. In actual fact, the reason why that he rebelled against it, he believed that God would save the enemy. And he didn't want God to save them. He believed that God would have mercy upon Nineveh. But he didn't want God to have mercy upon Nineveh. You know, there's some people like that today. They don't want God to save this nation. They don't want God to save other people outside of their families or outside of their friends or outside of their wee circle. Let me tell you, men and women, today, souls are going to hell. And if you and I knew what hell meant, we would want for God to save the lost, whoever they be, and rescue them from the damned of a Christless eternity. And so the Bible tells us here that he's going down. He takes the steps downward. He continues, he commences his journey walking with his parents. But notice something happens as he's going down. Look at verse 8, and it says, "And after a time he returned to take her." In other words, they've gone down there, and now he has come back again. We find that after a time he returned to take her, and he turns aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took her off in his hand, and he went on eating. And he came to his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. The truth is mentioned, he's going down. And friend, let me tell you, as this young man goes back down again, finally to take the young woman, as his father and mother goes with him, as he goes to take this young woman to be his wife, we find that he strays. He strays. The Bible says in verse 8, he turned aside. And he wanders into forbidden territory. You say, why do I believe that this young man is wandering into forbidden territory? Let me tell you, he's disobeying God again. You say, where does he disobey God, friend? The Bible tells us that he wanders here into, he turns aside here into the vineyard. In verse number 5 it says, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Friend, let me tell you, he didn't tell his father and mother. Here's the secrecy of this young fella. Because the Bible says that as he's going down with his father and mother, he wanders, he turns aside into the vineyards. Now you say, well listen, there's nothing really strange about that. Yes, there is. Because let me tell you, friend, remember who he is. He is a Nazarite. And as a Nazarite, there is the law of the Nazarite. Turn to the book of Numbers. You see, the Bible's joined together, friend. This is a book that has got the answers to all the situations. This is what it says if you go to Numbers chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from the wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes, or dried all the days of a separation. You see, my friend, his place was not in the place of the grapes because he was a Nazarite. He ought never to have been in the vineyard. That's the same thing, of course, for God's child. God's child shouldn't be in the pub. Let me tell you, my friend, don't you say, well, listen, I'll go to the bar and I'll stand with the ungodly in the bar and I'll hang over the bar and I'll take an orange juice. Let me tell you, it's not the place for the child of God. God's child shouldn't be there. And here's a young man and he had the separation of a Nazarite. And the Bible tells us here's a young man and he's here in rebellion. You know, it sounds harmless. That he's in the vineyard and there he sees a lion. There's danger. There's danger in the vineyard, friend. Because in the vineyard, he had turned aside. He had gone into forbidden territory. You see, friend, you may say this is harmless just going into the vineyard. Let me tell you, it was rebellion. It was rebellion. This young man was rebelling against God's way. And when told not to eat or to drink of the vine, then the only safe thing for this young man to do was to stay out. Stay out of the vineyard. Because, friend, let me tell you, the tempter comes. Oh, the devil comes with his temptation. And notice that when he was in the vineyard, there was a life-threatening danger that met him there, because the Bible says, behold, a young lion roared against him. And I'll say, and I know time, we're finishing this morning, but let me say this to every child of God today. Listen, your rebellion and mine is always fraught with dangers. There's always perils there when we're rebelling against the law of God. There's a lion here. There's a lion in his path. Now, of course, Samson escaped by killing the lion because God graciously, by his Spirit, came mightily upon him. Samson didn't kill him himself, friend. But God was gracious. And you know, you and I, even when you and I have walked in rebellion against God, hasn't God been good to us? Have we not seen the hand of God, friend, graciously stepping Even when we have walked in disobedience, God has been so gracious. In actual fact, this escape of Samson was a result of God's mercy. It was a display of God's grace. You know, this deliverance ought to have brought Samson to his senses. But the sad thing, it didn't. Samson ignores. You know, he just brushed with death. Walking in rebellion, walking, friend, listen, surely he will have learned the lesson as he saw the lion coming to him, as he saw the danger confronting him, as he saw death staring him in the face. Surely this young man will realize, listen, I'm in a place where I ought not to be. I should never have been in the vineyard. I should never have been down in Timnath. But notice it says, he told not his father or his mother what he'd done. Let me tell you, why didn't he tell his father and mother? Mom, Dad, do you know what I did today? I killed a big lion. Mom, Dad, you know what I did today? I took a lion that came running at me and I just tore him apart. I rent him like a renter kid. Tell me, why did he not tell his father and mother? Because he knew he was in a place where he ought not to be. He knew that his father and mother's question would be next. Son, where did you kill the lion? Where did you kill it, son? And his answer would have to be, I killed him in the vineyard. But son, what were you doing in the vineyard? What were you doing? Do you not know that you're a Nazarite unto the Lord? And so, friend, he couldn't boast about what he did to his mother or his father, because he's in the place that he ought not to be. And friend, here's the last thought. By actually killing the lion, he had touched death. And by touching death, he had defiled himself before the Lord. You say he had a lot to boast about. Friend, he had a lot to weep about. For he disobeyed God. Do you notice one sin led him to another? Led him to another. And there's no sin of disobedience, friend, that will ever lead you to blessing. You need God to keep you from it. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. We'll come back to the story in God's will. Pray that God will guide us even as we meditate upon his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, our heart's desire and prayer for every one of your children today is that we might walk holy, that we might not defile ourselves with sin, but that, O God, we might be holy, that we might live holy lives and honor thee in all things. Please, God, direct our paths. Glorify thy Son in our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.